George W. Bush once said that grief, tragedy, and hatred are only for a time. Goodness, remembrance, and love have no end. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. The objective of our program is to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. It's a call-in format. We're caller-friendly, and we certainly look forward to hearing your point of view. And for those of you who may be listening for the first time, our perspective is this. We believe that there is one God, and through Him, there's one truth which is found in the Bible. Our purpose is to stir your thinking up along with ours as we continually search for clarity and understanding this one truth.
While we are not here to teach, we are here to seriously provoke your thinking according to Hebrews 10:24, which is the theme for our program. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. This provoking is encouraged by Isaiah 1:18. Come now, and let us reason together. And we will look to frame our comments in the context of 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 21. Quench not the spirit, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. The only end result we seek to accomplish is to bring praise, honor, and glory to our God, to God our Father, and Jesus our Lord.
And if you'd like to contact us or suggest a topic for a future program and receive a Christian Questions travel mug, here's what you do.
Write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut 06320, or check us out on the web at www.christiansquestions.net. Today is May 18th, 2008. All printed and audio material are the copyrighted property of Christian Questions.
And if you do have a Christian question or you want to reopen a topic we've already discussed, let us know. We'd like to hear from you. So on behalf of Kathy, my co-host, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Rick.
You're a new co-host.
I am. I'm very excited to be here this morning with you.
Jonathan is not in town. Vicky is unavailable. So here you are. First time.
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
Thank you for asking me.
So we have Kathy as a co-host, and we have Kathy behind the board. Good morning, Kathy. There she is.
How are you?
She's waving over there. So we've got my sister Kathy, my other sister Kathy. So should be good. Fred's out of town as well. We want to welcome you to this hour of our program. So Kathy, last week, I know you weren't here, so I'll sort of cover that. We usually give a brief recap. We talked about what really happens on Judgment Day. And we looked at the Day of Judgment from a scriptural standpoint to try to figure out how it fits and the kinds of events that happen. And what we found out from a scriptural standpoint is the judgment is not something to be afraid of, but it's actually something to be looked forward to, because it's the bringing together and the bringing up out of the graves of and the rehabilitation process of world of mankind. So there's a tremendous value in that from what we looked at last week. We appreciate the many, many calls we got last week on that subject, and there were some differences of opinion, and appreciate that as well. So what's on top for this week? What's our subject? What's our question? What's our scripture?
Is being a Christian a heavy burden? And our scripture is Matthew 11:29 through Matthew 11:30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
And the New Testament describes Christianity in a variety of ways. From our theme text, it would seem that journey would be restful and easy. It sounds it. From other scriptures, it would seem like being a Christian means sacrifice and difficulty. So the $1,000 question, you didn't know there was going to be monetary transactions. The $1,000 question is, can you have a peaceful and restful experience as a Christian while living a life of sacrifice, selflessness, and adversity? So folks, stay with us this morning as we look into how these seeming contradictions could possibly make sense together. Is being a Christian a heavy burden? Let's find out. And Kathy, we have three questions we want to talk about this morning. What's the first one?
The first question is, what does it mean to take up the yoke of Jesus?
All right. The second question, how can your soul be restful while you are dealing with difficulty? And the third one?
How can Jesus' burden be light if it requires your life?
Okay. So, folks, if you have a thought on all of this, it's 860-442-9222. 995-680-442-WXLM. Kathy, let's get started. And we're going to take some time, a pretty big chunk of time, to lay out the context of the scripture, because like anything else, unless you know why something is being said, you're not going to understand the full impact of it. So let's go back a number of verses in Matthew chapter 11 and see what Jesus is talking about so we can get ourselves up to speed, so to speak. Go ahead. Matthew 11, 16 to 19.
But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds.
All right, so Jesus is looking at the current generation, that the people that he's living around, and he's describing them. And he's describing them like children sitting in marketplaces calling out to one another. The commentator Barnes actually describes the analogy that Jesus is using pretty well. So, Kathy, why don't you read that short paragraph from Barnes' commentary on the scriptures?
Children imitate their parents and others and act over in play what they see done by others. Among their childish sports, therefore, was probably an imitation of a wedding or festival occasion. We have seen also that funerals were attended with mournful music and lamentation and howling. It is not improbable that children also, in play, imitated a mournful funeral procession. One part are represented as sullen and dissatisfied. They would not enter into the play. Nothing pleased them. The others complained of it. We have, said they, taken all pains to please you. We have piped to you, played lively tunes, and engaged in cheerful sports, but you would not join with us. And then we have played different games and imitated the mourning at funerals, and you are equally sullen. You have not lamented. You have not joined with us. Nothing pleases you.
All right, and so what the commentator is saying is Jesus is likening the people of his generation to spoiled children. You know, you don't want to play this game. Okay, we'll play another game. Well, you don't want to play that game either. Well, what is it that you want? And he's saying that the children of the generation there were not being receptive to anything outside of what they what I want. Okay, and Kathy, actually, we have a call on the line already. Let's take that call. Good morning. Welcome to Christian Questions. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, it's Randall.
Good morning, Randall.
Good morning. I like to call early because I love your show, and I don't like to throw you guys off.
That's okay. It's okay. Go ahead.
I just have remember Jesus fed the multitudes with loaves and fishes?
Yes.
I have a quick idea I found out for Christian charity. You put one box in the kitchen or pantry, and I know this is sort of off your subject, but this is just important because this is Christian charity.
Okay.
You put a box in your kitchen or pantry, and then every time you go to the grocery store, you buy one item, you know, like a can of green beans, a can of chili, a can of tuna, peanut butter, dry milk, maybe pet food, because that's part of stewardship as well. Put that one item in the box. And when the box is full, you drop it off at the local food bank. And then you have fed the poor very simply and within your budget. And, you know, you can use your buy one, get one free coupons in order to do this. And remember that on Judgment Day, and you'll know this quote better than I do, remember when they said, Lord, Lord, he said, did you give me a glass of water or did you give me something to eat?
Well said. Very well said. I like the idea. And it actually fits very well with our subject when you think about it.
Okay. All right, and I love your show. And I'm Roman Catholic, but I love your show.
All right, Randall, thanks so much for calling.
All right, you take care. Talk to you next week.
All right, bye-bye. And you know, Kathy, we're going to develop this overall subject as we go. But, you know, he's talking about being a Christian. He's talking about actually living the life of a Christian. And he's bringing out a very, very practical suggestion for how to live a life that is got others on their mind. And that's really what Christianity is. So I appreciate that that thought to get us started this morning here. And that thought certainly doesn't fit in with the spoiled children aspect, does it?
No, it does not.
Because that is exactly the opposite. And that's really what Jesus was going to be driving towards. So Jesus starts this context of our scripture, our theme scripture, by looking at the background of the generation that he's dealing with, and they're not in good shape. They're just like a bunch of spoiled little kids. They just want to do what they want to do. I want to play my way, and if I don't get my way, I'm just going to take my ball and go home, kind of thing. Not a good situation. Psalm 92, 4 through 7.
For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The dullard cannot know. The stupid cannot understand this. Though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever.
So in that psalm, and that's using kind of sort of blunt language there for scriptures, that's the New Revised Standard Version there. It's talking about, it says, you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. So it's talking about sort of getting outside of yourself by looking at the works of God. And when you're not paying attention to things like that, you're just not going to get it. You're not going to see it, and you're going to end up falling into that little world of yours, which is not going to be very productive at all. So Jesus is starting the context of this scripture about taking his yoke upon us by laying out that the generation he was dealing with was having a significant challenge along those lines. They were stuck somewhere, and we're going to get into where they were stuck as we unfold the program.
But sounds like a problem of focus. They were focusing on themselves.
And I would say that that's the problem of focus that still exists today.
I think you're right.
And it's one of those very difficult things, because it's hard not to focus on me because I'm so important. I mean, really, that's the way it always seems to work. And when we do that, we don't end up ever being contributory beyond ourselves, because it's always within my comfort. It's always within what I want, within how I feel. And then we have the situational ethics and all those things that rise out of that. And Jesus was dealing with that very same thing.
And like the children who were focusing on themselves, the end result is not happiness, even though that's what you're striving for.
Yeah.
And like in the psalm, the man that was focusing on the Lord, his end result was happiness.
And that's the point. It you change the focus, and then you can change where you end up going to. Kathy, why don't we head into a break at this point? Folks, we're talking about laying out the context for, is being a Christian a heavy burden, or is it something that you can really scoop up and run with?
This is Christian Questions with Rick and Kathy on WXLM 104.7. Don't go away. We'll be back in a moment. Grab your Bibles. Welcome back to Christian Questions on WXLM. Today's question is being a Christian a heavy burden? To be a part of our program, call 860-442-9956. That is 860-442-WXLM.
And Kathy, as we go through this, you're sitting in for Jonathan this morning. He is out of town, doing a good deed, I might add. We're talking about trying to lay out the context for the scripture, Matthew 11:29-30, about Jesus saying, take his yoke upon you and learn of him, for he is meek and lowly of heart. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. We're not focusing on that yet, but that's what we want to get to. We need to go through the context, though, to see why he ends up saying that and what the import is. So let's continue with that. Matthew 11:20-24 is the next section of context we want to touch on here.
Then he began to reproach the cities in which most of his deeds of power had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than for you.
And what Jesus is doing here, Kathy, is he's doing a little bit of a geography lesson. He's mentioning these cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida and Tyre and Sidon, and he's talking about them. And he's saying, woe to you. And you think, well, why would he say that? Well, we'll just touch on some comments from some commentators to get a sense of it. These are cities that Chorazin and Capernaum were on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. And this was the area that actually at least three of the apostles came from. So I think what Jesus is saying is this is an area that was blessed because of the things that were happening in their time. Jesus did a lot of preaching in that area. It says, woe unto you, Tyre and Sidon. These were very heathen cities, again, in the Galilee area. And what the point was, they were being given a tremendous gift. They were being given the gospel, and they were ignoring it. And Jesus is saying to them, woe to you. And again, back to the spoiled children thing. So you can kind of see where he starts with the spoiled children, then he goes on to adults and says, you're acting like I just described, because they were being given something so valuable and they didn't want it. And he's saying if the same gospel was preached in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented of their evil. It's pretty powerful.
It really is.
And it says it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. What does that word tolerable mean? Yeah, that's your cue.
I know. I told you not to ask me the easy questions. More endurable.
Okay, so from the concordance, you'll look it up, and that's what it means, more endurable. Let's look at another scripture now, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4.
And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them.
And that's a pretty startling statement when you think about it. He's saying that if the gospel is veiled, it's veiled in them that are perishing. And it's saying that the reason it's veiled is because the God of this world blinded them. So they're just kind of going through life and they've been blinded by Satan. That's what it's saying. It's saying they're blinded and they're not able to see some things. And that's, again, that's putting it in perspective as to what Jesus is getting to when he's getting to his yoke and his burden, which we'll be talking about in a moment. But there's a very difficult circumstance here, and that is blindness, spiritual blindness. Satan has a grip on the world, and we've talked about this many times in the past, so we're not going to get into it now. But he's got a grip on the world, and it keeps people from seeing. Okay, so Jesus has now finished upbraiding the cities in which he's done so many of his great works. He's done miracles. He's preached. He's given them examples of the kingdom. His message to them was simple. It would be more difficult for them in the day of judgment than for the evil cities of Tyre and Sidon and Sodom. These are cities that they all knew about that were evil. So judging by Jesus' reaction to this pronouncement, it must have been a difficult one for him to make. This was heartfelt for him. We know that because the next verses tell us that. Matthew 11, 25 to 27.
At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him.
So, again, you're getting a sense that there is almost an exclusiveness in being able to see these things. And you say, well, is that fair? And, you know, you go back to what we talked about last week with the Day of Judgment. It doesn't seem fair at the outset. But the fact that there's resurrection for all and an ability to learn from the experiences of your life for all makes it an okay thing, okay? Things right. are not always balanced as they go through, but they end up balanced.
Right.
That's what we're looking for here. So let's get to the yoke. Let's get to our subject because that's what we really want to be talking about for the bulk of this program. Matthew, just reread Matthew 11:29 for us.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.
Okay, so take my yoke upon you. What is this yoke? It's not the center of an egg, I know that. What is it?
the yoke of Jesus?
First of all, what is a yoke? Well, I mean, the word, when we look at the word for yoke, what is it? And when you look it up in the concordance, okay, it's the it's Strong's number 2218. It means a coupling, figuratively servitude, a beam of balance, is connecting of scales. So it was literally a yoke was a beam that connected two pieces together, whether it had been scales to balance something out or a yoke of oxen. Everybody's familiar with that. And what it was a piece of wood that combined those two oxen to have to walk and work together. It made them work together. Once you're in the yoke, you can't get out of the yoke. You're stuck there. Okay? So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And when you think about that, you think, well, that doesn't sound like a comfortable thing.
But isn't it so cool that there's two parts to it. And he says, take my yoke. So he is already putting himself in the one part and offers you the opportunity to take the other part. But he will obviously carry most of the load, probably.
Well, see, now you look at it from that standpoint, and you're right. But see, most people look at it from the standpoint of when you go back to the spoiled children. Well, that's not a game that I really want to play. Because I have to take a yoke. I have to do work. I have to do something, and I don't feel like it. And so you're right. It's got that. There's this great blessing to it that we're going to really begin to unfold shortly. But in looking at it, apparently, it's not. It's like I'm getting bound into something. And for a lot of us, you look at that and say, I think I want to be free. I want to be able to make my own choices. I want to be able to do it my own way. And so we might shy away from it, where in fact, you're right, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he's saying, you want to have, look, the bottom line is you're going to have a yoke in your life, or two or three or four or five.
Right.
So you want to have this one. And that's why going through all of that context was such an important part of the development of the subject, because he's saying, you guys aren't hearing what this message is. You're not seeing the great value here. You're not seeing how this is showing you what the future is going to be. You're not seeing the goodness. All you're seeing is the trouble. And you're looking at what I'm – remember he said, you know, you looked at the works of John and you said that, he's a crazy man. And you look at what I'm doing because, you know, he's a crazy man. He's out there. He's fasting. He's preaching and doing all this stuff in the wilderness. And yet you look at me and I'm eating with sinners and you say, oh, look, he's a glutton. You can't, and both things are contributory to your future and you're not wanting it. Okay. So the thing is, all of us, all men take yokes upon their necks, whether we like it or not, whether we choose to believe it or not. Every one of us does that. So let's take one of the things, again, I want to just touch on some commentary just for a minute. In Barnes, he lists off five different kinds of yokes. Let's just read the yoke and then what the scripture is.
The first one is of bondage or slavery. Leviticus 26:13. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen, and I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright.
So he talked about the slavery as a yoke upon them. It bound mm-hmm. them to something. What else is there?
Of afflictions or crosses, Lamentations 3:27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth.
Okay, so it's a good for man to bear the yoke of difficulty, is what it's saying, in your youth, because that's when you're strong and you should be able to handle it. What's another kind of yoke?
Of the punishment of sin, Lamentations 1:14. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. They are
wreathed
and come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, from whom I am not able to rise up.
Okay, so the yoke of my transgressions. Okay, so the yoke of sin. It binds you to something, and you're captive by it, and you're going in the direction that the yoke is bringing you.
And we all have that yoke.
And that's the problem. It's like everybody's not only got one, but got many. And Jesus is offering this other yoke, but he's putting a different end result on the yoke than all of these things that we've seen so far. The last one in that list is of legal ceremonies. Just read the two scriptures there, then we'll move on here.
Acts 15:10. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear.
Okay, and that yoke that he was talking about was what?
The law.
The yoke of the law of the Old Testament. And he's saying, why are you wanting to put that burden on these Gentile Christians when we couldn't even handle it? What do you think you're doing?
Right. They didn't know any better. That's how they were raised with that law. And they thought that if you wanted to follow Jesus, you had to do it the way we were told to do it.
And in order to be acceptable to God, you did have to follow the law up to that point.
Right.
But Jesus instituted what we'll call a dispensational change, where now to come unto God, you come through Christ, and you live up to the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law.
Right.
Big lesson there, and we'll get into that as we go forward here. Just that Galatians 5:1 scripture as well.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Okay, so again, the yoke of bondage, meaning that yoke of the law. And it's interesting that you think, okay, now how can this be? God's a wise God, right?
Right.
He's a mighty God.
Right.
He does things for our benefit.
Absolutely.
So you have this law that he gave to mankind, and it's called a yoke of bondage. Like, what's up with that? If he's so wise and so loving and so just and so kind and so merciful, why does he give a law that you can't live up to?
That's a good question.
It is. That's why I'm asking. And folks, if you have a thought, it's 860-442-9956, 442-WXLM. And I think one of the things we need to understand is sin had to be understood as sin. Okay, man's mm-hmm. fall put mankind into a different category. The law was there to label sin. And fallen humankind cannot get out of sin. And the law just helped to define that. Whether the law was there or not, they would have still been sinful.
Right.
But the law helped them understand that they were sinful, helped them understand that they needed something bigger than themselves.
And isn't it cool how Jesus fulfilled that law, and now he's saying, let me help you. You have a job to do. While you're here, you're going to have to do some kind of job. You can do it alone, or you can do it with me. And if you had to go do something, wouldn't you like to take Jesus along to help you out?
I say that's a pretty good plan. I'm in.
Me too.
And so you've got that sense that, so you see the context. Again, that's why going through this context was so important, because it was a context of those who were bound by the law, those who were looking at the works of Jesus and the preaching of Jesus as something negative rather than very, very positive, and rather than seeing it as the answer to their prayers, they saw it as a curtailing of their own steps. And that's the wrong way to see it. And he's saying, you're acting just like children.
Right.
Stop it already and understand how valuable this is. And now we get into our scriptures. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Why does Jesus say that? Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. I've got a couple of scriptures here we can reference, but if you have some comments, Kathy, I see you're getting ready.
Something that I found is to be meek is to cultivate the graces of patience, of loving submission to the will of God, of abiding confidence in his love and care, in the wisdom of his guiding counsel and overruling providences, and to perseveringly pursue this course through evil and through good report, or through favorable or unfavorable circumstances. So basically, it's you have to accept the providences of God, obey his leading, and then you can be armed with God's strength, which he alone can and will supply.
All right. Hold that thought. We need to go into break at this point. Folks, we're talking about the idea of being a Christian, and the question is it something that's heavy or is it something that's welcome?
This is Christian Questions with Rick and Kathy on WXLM 104.7. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We will be right back after a short break. Welcome back to Christian Questions on WXLM. Today's question is being a Christian a heavy burden? To be a part of our program, call 860-442-9956. That is 860-442-9956. WXLM.
And Kathy, we're really talking about the idea of what Christianity is, and is it too hard to make the effort, or is there something much more valuable than that? And we're looking at it because Jesus says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Before we get to that, though, he said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart." And you gave us a real good description of that meek and lowly of heart. Let's just read one or two scriptures before we take this call.
Luke 9:46-48. Then there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great." And John 13:12-13:17. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them."
Both of those scriptures give us a real strong sense of meek and lowly of heart. But we have a call, so let's take that call. Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Kathy and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
This is Julius.
Good morning.
I say I'm impressed, Rick. You are an equal opportunity employee. Doing a great job, Kathy.
Thank you, Julius.
Yes, a great subject, great scripture. Oh, golly, that has to be one of the most outstanding scriptures in the New Testament.
Yeah, I think you're right. It really is.
And in answer to your question, my point of view is this, on the basis of the scriptures, that is being a Christian a great or heavy burden? The answer is yes and no. And I'll tell you why. I share, you know, here's a great invitation to share the burden. The Lord Jesus is there. Obviously, there is a burden. That's why the Lord Jesus, "I will share it with you." The burden is there. But the source of strength to bear that burden, it comes from the Lord. I think of a couple of places. I love that Hebrews 12:2, just quoting part of it. It says, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him,
right,
he endured the cross and suffered the shame. You see, there was shame, there was cross, there was a burden, but it is endured because we have the Lord Jesus sharing it with us. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength,"
mm-hmm,
to endure, you know, whatever comes our way, and so forth. And Isaiah 53 styles our Lord Jesus as the suffering servant.
Mm-hmm.
He bore the perhaps the greatest burden ever. So the answer is yes and no. Now, here's an interesting dichotomy or ambiguity, if you might look at it that way. You see how that answers the question, the complex question. To me, it is no mystery about it. Why bad things happen to good people? Because we're in training. The Christian is in training to develop the virtues, the characteristics necessary to be used by God in the future to help humanity back to perfection. So we are in training. The true Christian is. So he needs the bumps as well as the softer spots. It's a roller coaster. So there is joy and there is suffering connected with it. One final scripture, Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Thanks for sharing this beautiful topic. God bless.
Thank you, Julius. We appreciate your call.
Have a good day.
Okay. And, Kathy, a lot of scriptures there.
Yes.
That's a little Bible study right there.
He actually made me think of one, too.
What was that?
Romans 8:28, that all things work for good for those who love the Lord. And when you have experiences, I like to think of them as hard and easy experiences, not good or bad, because I really believe that all my experiences are good because they're for my best interest and the Lord is helping me along the way.
And actually, that's a good way of looking at it. Not good or bad, but hard or easy, or easier, we might add. So, and Julie's brought out a lot of things about the idea of being in training and all of that. And the idea of taking the yoke of Jesus upon you, remember, is submitting yourself to a specific direction. Because we do that anyway in all parts of our right. lives. We submit ourselves, and folks, like it or not, you do it.
Right.
And we submit ourselves to methods of thinking. You know, you've heard the phrase, you know, with a computer, for instance, garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, same with the human mind, garbage in, garbage out. You're submitting yourself to what you allow to come into your mind. You're submitting yourself to your choices. You're submitting yourself to the results of those actions and the consequences. Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you because I want you to submit to something different here. And the scriptures that you read before Julius called, he was saying that, you know, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. He's saying, learn of me, be like a child. That was the first scripture you read.
Right.
Okay? Not like the spoiled child we talked about, but like the child who's got that willingness to learn. And if you've ever sat with a little small child, you can just teach them. And they're fascinated with the idea of learning, and they have complete trust.
Right.
And that's what Jesus is saying. Be like a child and you can enter into the kingdom. And the other scripture you read was talking about serving one another. Okay, so he's defining learning of him because he's saying, do what I do. Not just do what I say, but do what I do. He talked to them about serving one another. Let's get down to the next scripture now in as we define what being meek and lowly of heart is. That's John 15:11-14.
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you.
That's a tough scripture. Because it really, you know, Jesus, Julius, when he was talking about the question, is it a heavy burden or is it light? And he said it's both.
Yes.
And when you look at this scripture, he says something very, very powerful here. He says, greater love has no man than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friends. Now, that's not an easy thing.
No, it's not easy.
You know, people just don't do that on a regular basis. It's not something, what did you do today? Oh, I, you know, sacrificed my life for my friends. it's not, when we see that happen, you know, and you see that happen occasionally in the world, I mean, we look at people that do that, and we look at them through the eyes of seeing somebody who's heroic.
Right.
We really do.
Right.
And Jesus is saying, this is the greatest love that you can have. And he said, and then he's saying to them, this is what I'm doing for you. So when he says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, he's not only saying, listen to my words. He's saying, follow my actions.
It reminds me of an example of just when you're exhausted and somebody calls you and they need you. Come to the hospital with me or take me somewhere. I need you. And often my first reaction is, oh, I'm so tired. I don't have the strength. And yet, because I want to be that servant of Christ. So I do it for him. I go and, it's miraculous. I leave with a greater blessing than I'm sure I was because the Lord takes that heart intent of wanting to serve him. And he buoys up your strength and you feel like you're superhuman and it's, you know, his strength.
Well, see, and you said something that's really important here, and because you said you want to be that servant of Christ. So what you're saying is, okay, take my yoke upon you. It's one of those things that Jesus is saying, this yoke is, first of all, it's voluntary. He's
right.
not saying wear this yoke or suffer the consequences. He's saying, take my yoke upon you. And he's imploring us. Why should you do that? Because I'm meek and lowly of heart. and you will find rest unto your souls. He's giving us all of the reasons to accept this responsibility. And it is. It's a responsibility. You are accepting a predetermined direction for your life when you take this yoke upon you. Just like you accept predetermined direction for your life when you take upon the yoke of sin, when you take upon the yoke of poor choices. You've accepted predetermined direction. Like it or not, that's what you did. When you ascribe to one religion or another, to one political belief or another, you are taking the yoke of that philosophy or that doctrine upon you. Jesus is saying, he's not forcing it. He's handing it and saying, here, try this one on. This one's not going to hurt. It is a responsibility, but it's not going to hurt. It's going to cost you, but it's not going to hurt. It's going to take your life, and we're going to get into this in the next hour, but it's not going to hurt. And you say, well, wait, how can it not hurt? Because of the perspective through which we have to see it, just like you described. Okay, you're called upon to do something, like what Randall was saying, that Christian giving, that attitude of just being a giver, it costs you something. And you can look at the cost and you can say, okay, boy, what a big cost that, I just can't handle it anymore. Or you can say, so what?
Right.
So what? The cost is minimal compared to the blessing. And really, I think that's what the core of the yoke of Jesus is. He's not pleading, but almost pleading. He's saying that my yoke is something that you can voluntarily wear, that I'm going to give you direction. I'm going to show you where to go, where you must go. You're not going to be able to wander off. I'm going to show you how to stay the course. And there's a cost involved. But he says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. You know, and you don't want a yoke from someone who's hard and a taskmaster.
Right.
You don't.
Right. And I love how he says, take my yoke. But then he says, learn of me. And as you learn of Jesus, you learn how to do it his way. And the more you learn, the more strength you have. And the jobs might get harder, and yet they're easier to handle because you have more learning.
And I think that's one of the important things is that, and Kathy, whenever the bump is, the outro is supposed to start, just start it. Those lessons that we're to learn, and those last few scriptures we read, be as a child, serve one another, sacrifice for one another to the point of death. Those are the lessons to learn of him. But he's saying, you will find rest unto your souls. So folks, in the second hour, we're going to look at how do you find rest in the context of all of that? And how do we really understand this Christian burden as not being heavy, but actually being privileged? For Kathy and Rick, this is Christian Questions. We'll be back after the news and all of that. But until then, is being a Christian a heavy burden? Think about it. Carmen Wold once said that when love is your greatest weakness, you will be the strongest person in the world. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Kathy and Rick. Kathy is sitting in for Jonathan this morning. The objective of our program is to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. It's a call-in format. We're caller-friendly, and we'd like to hear from you. So, Kathy, how are you doing your first time out here?
It's good. Very nervous. More nervous than I expected to be.
Well, you're doing a lot better. You seem to be getting into the flow. So before I ask you what our subject is, just go over the website information real quick.
Our web address is www.christianquestions.net. And our question today is, being a Christian, a heavy burden.
And the theme scripture?
Is Matthew 11:29-30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
And Kathy, in the first hour, we laid out the context for this statement of Jesus, because this is, like Julia said in the first hour, this is one of those profound statements that you look at and you say, whoa. You know, that's a whoa statement. That's what that is.
It is.
And so we looked at the context, and he was likening his generation to little children that didn't want to play this game, didn't want to play that game, didn't want to do this, didn't want to do that. And then he says, you're that way to such a degree that if the preaching and the miracles and the example and all of these things had been given to Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. So he's really telling them that you really have got your heads in the wrong places. And then he's saying he thanks God for allowing those who have humble hearts to see the gospel. And then he says these words about taking his yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And so we're talking now, we've been talking about the yoke of Christ. And remember, a yoke is something that binds you to a job. A yoke of oxen, you've got two of them working together. And you're bound to that other oxen, whether you like it or like him or not. And you are bound to a direction. And we talked about the fact that we all take yokes upon us in our lives. In every aspect of our lives, we bind ourselves to specific directions by the choices we make, by the groups we associate with, by the thinking that we partake in. All of those things create yokes, create firm directions for us. Jesus isn't forcing this one on us, is he?
No, he's not. This is our free choice. He's offering this out to us as really a privilege.
Right. And he's saying, take it upon you, and I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. And so whenever you hear about a yoke, it's always something that requires work and labor.
Right.
But he's saying, if you take this one, you're going to find rest. Wait, how does that work? Because the yoke doesn't change in definition. It's still something that binds you to a direction for the purpose of getting a job done.
Right.
But he's saying it's a restful kind of work. So let's talk about that. Our question for to begin this hour is, how can your soul be restful while you're dealing with difficulty? Because, again, the job is not a job that you just skate through. It requires effort. Okay? So, folks, if you have a thought, it's 860-442-9956, 860-442-WXLM. What does the word rest mean? I know it's an easy question, but I'm asking anyway.
Rest is an intermission, by implication, recreation.
And again, it sounds contradictory to the idea of taking my yoke upon you and you'll find rest. Because it's saying, take the responsibility of the job that I'm giving upon you and you'll get an intermission.
It reminds me of Paul and Silas or even Stephen, and I often marvel at the difficult experiences they had, being Stephen stoned to death, mm-hmm. and Paul and Silas being beaten in the stockades and whipped, and yet singing the praises of God. What depth of just they must have had of this rest, because these were hard experiences, and yet They didn't exhibit signs of stress or worry or anguish. They were singing the praises of God throughout these hard experiences.
And it doesn't mean they didn't have pain and suffering.
Right.
But it was the perspective with which they looked at it. Let's read John 15:10-14.
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you.
Okay, and we talked about this in the first hour, near the end of the first hour, talking about the idea of sacrifices required. And, you know, he's saying you find rest unto your souls. And he's saying now, abide in God's love, and my joy can be in you. And then he talks about laying down your life. So he's putting those two things together, and it doesn't sound like it should fit, but it really does. And you say, well, how does that happen? Well, we're going to unfold that. Read the Hebrew scripture, Hebrews 4, 1 to 2, and then jump down to 14 to 16.
Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest is still open, let us take care that none of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For indeed, the good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested, as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Now, this fourth chapter of Hebrews is the enter into rest chapter. And it talks about entering into rest, and it talks about the fact that you have to work to enter into rest. Rest intermission doesn't come by itself. You have to labor to enter into rest. Well, how do you labor? What do you do? What's the formula? What's the recipe for entering into rest?
To me, I think of our world today that's so anxiety-filled. And people worry a lot. And if you're worrying, it's taking place in your brain. You have given yourself permission, I guess, to worry and think about bad things that could happen.
You've taken on the yoke of worry?
Absolutely, yes. And instead, I think you have to mentally train yourself to stop and to focus, like it says in the book of Philippians, to think on things that are good, true, pure, lovely, honest, and to train yourself to rest and to focus on God and to focus on other things. So it is a work in your mind.
All right, so you said you have to train yourself to do that. And one of the best ways to train yourself is to find an example. And this works in training of all kind. If it's athletic training or whatever, you want to be able to run the distance or whatever the training is, shoot the foul shot, hit the baseball, whatever it is, you find an example of exactly the right way to do it. And you say, okay, I see the technique. Therefore, I can learn to copy the technique. And that's what Hebrews 4 tells us. We have a technique laid out here for you. His name is Jesus. And you need to take that technique because he says, we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who in every respect was tested as we are, yet without sin. So here it is. There's the perfect example of what to follow. So when you labor to enter into rest, you have to replace the worry with focusing on something else.
So the more faith you have, the more rest you have.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, and Jesus, in relation to Jesus, Julius quoted that scripture earlier this morning, and that's how you enter into rest. And so Jesus is saying, that's why he says, learn of me. He says, I'm the template for you, and I'm walking alongside of you with this yoke. What more do you need? You just have to decide to move your mind into that category. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 860-442-9956, 442-WXLM, and as we speak, we have a call. Good morning, and, well, wait a minute. There it is. Good morning, and welcome to Christian Questions. Who are we speaking with?
Good morning, this is Max. How are you today?
Doing well, Max. How are you?
Very good. I like to think of it as you equate life to building a house.
Okay.
And you can either follow the directions or not follow the directions.
Mm-hmm.
And the yoke of Jesus and the Bible are the directions.
Okay.
You can either, in your naive arrogance, try to build a house on your own, or you can follow the directions written by the person who invented building houses.
Okay, I like it. That makes
sense
to me.
And that's the way that I look at it. There are so many people out there who think that they can go through life, build houses, without getting electrocuted without having the thing fall down, without having the roof leak, without having, and you're still going to experience that if you follow the directions, but far less often. And inevitably, if you go back and say, well, where did I make the mistake? It's you that made the mistake. If you were following the directions, you can say, oh, I was supposed to do A, B, and C, and I skipped B. That's why I got electrocuted.
Mm-hmm.
Without the directions, you're just going off in your, in, like I said, in your naive arrogance, thinking that you can do it on your own. And that's what the burden of Christ is. It's oh, I have to follow the directions. That's the way that I look at it.
Well, Max, that was really a terrific illustration because it really, really fits with what we're trying to get to. Thanks so much for sharing that with us.
All right, I love you guys. Take care.
Hey, have a great day. What a great illustration that was.
Wow, I love how he brought out that when you mess up, you can go back and reread the directions and say, oh, this is what I messed up on. And then, you know, really in prayer, you go to God and say, oh, I messed up here. Give me your strength again to have more patience or to control my tongue or whatever it is.
And it really does, it does fit well. We have another call. We'll take it very quickly here before the break. Good morning and welcome to Christian Questions. Who are we speaking with? Hello? Oh, we lost him. Okay. Call back if you want to get on after the break here. So Kathy, this really helps to put it in perspective, you know, finding rest unto your souls. And again, if you've got the manual in front of you, if you've got the template to follow, we can find something very, very, very valuable in this responsibility, because the yoke is a responsibility to live. It's to walk alongside of Jesus, which means that wherever he goes, you go. And when you look at the life that he led and the things that he went through, you know, again, that could be scary sometimes because you look at complete selflessness.
Mm-hmm.
You look at sacrifice. You look at some pain and suffering. You say, wait a minute. But he's saying, you will find rest unto your souls. What a great combination to be able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. That's really what we're talking about here. And Kathy, why don't we go into the break at this point? Folks, we're talking about the yoke of Jesus, the rest of Jesus, and how it all fits together to be something very special.
This is Christian Questions with Rick and Kathy on WXLM 104.7. Is being a Christian a heavy burden? Stay tuned. Welcome back to Christian Questions on WXLM. Today's question is being a Christian a heavy burden? To be a part of our program, call 860-442-9956. That is 860-442-WXLM.
And Kathy, we have been talking about this rest in taking on this yoke. The yoke is a responsibility. There's rest involved. Rest means intermission. That's very, very strange. But Max brought up a great point, you know, about following the instructions. You know, you're trying to build a house and you've got to follow the blueprint, and the scriptures give us the blueprint. Without that blueprint, you can try to build your house as much as you want, but at some point, you're going to run into trouble if you don't build it to code, and that's what's in the blueprint. So we have a call. Let's take that call right now. Good morning and welcome to Christian Questions. Who are we speaking with?
Yeah, you're speaking to John. How you doing?
Good, John. How are you?
Yeah, good. You know what?
Yes.
I think of all people, I can say if you follow the book,
yeah,
you won't go wrong. You follow the directions, you're on the right path.
Well, that's good. I think give me a little bit more on that. Go ahead.
I called here before.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I started, you know, going back to church and all, and I can say this. If you follow the right path, you feel it. You feel better.
Uh-huh.
You don't, you know, I can't even put it in words, but there's a, you know, if you just do the right thing, you know, everything will go according to plan.
So you've experienced that personally.
Yeah.
And you know, in your experiences as you relate to us over the last few weeks, there were some pretty deep difficulties that you were facing.
Mm-hmm.
So what changed it?
Hearing others. You know, I went to, I sat in church and I spent the day. I just listened. everything around me. And it's not that bad. It's not, yeah, losing my mother was bad, but there's a reason behind everything.
Mm-hmm.
And who am I to question?
Good. Good for you. Because, you know, we don't know all the answers. And right. And sometimes the difficulties that we're facing are bigger than we think we can handle. And sometimes we don't understand the stress and the strain and the suffering and the pain and the loss. But
right.
In the overall plan, God has it in hand. He absolutely has it in hand. So
right.
Good. I'm glad to hear. You know your resolve there. It's
right.
It's thrilling to hear it. Anything else?
Yeah, I just want to say that anybody that's going through anything,
mm-hmm.
just you know what, just go to church, look at the book, and it'll open your mind.
All right.
I mean, it'll go the right way.
Thank you, John.
All right, man. Bye.
Bye. Bye. You know, and well, that's a great example because, you know, if folks, if you've listened over the last number of weeks, John has called up every week and he's had some significant difficulties that he's been facing. And this is a big deal because, you know, getting the idea of finding rest by stopping struggling. You know, and, you know, that's another thing about the yoke. If you struggle against the yoke, it's going to hurt. But if you go with the direction of the yoke, it's not going to hurt. You still have to do the work, but it's not going to hurt.
Right. You know, it reminds me of a very simple example of going into elementary school and you walk into the room, you're a little kid, you walk in late and everyone is involved in a new game and you're expected to join in. And because you weren't there when they went over the rules, you have no idea what to do. And so it produces anxiety and fear and worry. And God is saying, I'm giving you the rules. Like John said, turn to the word of God. He gives you the rules. He tells you what to do. And then when you're faced with those difficult experiences, you'll know the rules and he'll give you the rest and the peace to make the experience easier for you.
And, you know, one of the things that you didn't say is that he doesn't take it away from you. He doesn't take the difficulty away, but he shows you a way through it.
Right.
But again, if you fight against the yoke instead of walking with the responsibility, you're going to run into trouble. And rest requires perspective. And Kath, actually, just in the interest of time, we're not going to read this, but folks, write this down. Matthew 6:25-33, because this is a great scripture about not worrying, not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink and all those things. If God can take care of the birds and of the air, he can certainly take care of you. Just read the last verse there, Kathy, verse 33.
But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
That's the yoke. Strive first for the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying this, and he's saying, do this with me. I'm with you. This is my yoke, and this you will have the rest and assurity that you are being taken care of if you follow this pattern, follow this pathway. Let's move on because we need to move on here. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 860-442-9956, 442-WXLM. Rest requires perspective. It just requires perspective. So, Kath, let's just look at Ephesians 4:23-32.
And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to clothe yourselves with the new self created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you.
But that scripture is loaded to the hilt right there.
Wow.
There's so much in there. It talks about, first of all, the last verse. It talks about putting away bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander and malice and all of those things. Those are yokes. Remember that. When you allow those things to rule your reaction, you are bound by the yoke of anger or hatred or malice or slander because you're allowing it to dictate what direction you go. And that's not, and what the apostle is saying here is replace those things with goodness, with peaceableness. Let all of us speak truth to our neighbors. He says, be angry, but don't sin. Okay? He's not saying you can't have emotion, but he's saying keep it in perspective. Don't make room for the devil. He's saying, you know, work honestly with your own hands. Why? To have something to share with the needy. Just like Randall said at the very beginning of the program. Right there. There you have it. Okay? So that your words may give grace to those who hear. There is so much value in taking on this yoke and allowing it to give you your direction rather than saying, no, no, I want to go left, not right. No, I want to go right, not left. No, I don't want to go straight. Because that's the way we get.
Right.
That's the way we get in our lives. Quick look at Proverbs 16 through 20.
How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The highway of the upright avoids evil. Those who guard their way preserve their lives. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is better to be of a lowly spirit among the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. Those who are attentive to the matter will prosper, and happy are those who trust in the Lord.
That I sum that scripture up with one word, humility, and that puts things in perspective. And really, that's how we get this yoke to work. You can't, who was it called before, Max, you know, about building the house.
Right.
You know, you can in your, let me just quote his words here, in your naive arrogance, decide to build it your own way.
Right.
Or you can follow the instruction. And that's what this is all telling us. We have the answers laid out. Now, again, you can also go to the answer book and read one line out of it and go completely the wrong direction. You've got to put the book in its perspective. You've got to see it from beginning to end, and that helps us to understand what we're supposed to do. That's what taking the yoke of Jesus is. Kath, let's get on to our third question here. How can Jesus' burden be light if it requires your life? First thing we need to do is we need to look at that word for burden. Okay, what does the word for burden mean? Again, I didn't underline it, so you don't know. Okay.
A task or service.
Okay. It also means an invoice. Okay? So you think about that. Well, wait, how does that – that doesn't even make sense. Ah, but it does. Ah, grasshopper. Yes, it does. Just wait. I love this part because, to me, this really sums up what we're talking about here. He says, my burden is light. And he says, my invoice is light. When you have an invoice for something – that means you have something that's assigned to something. There's an invoice. You know, the invoice says that this, and this ought to be delivered. And you know, check those things. So the invoice encapsulates everything that's supposed to be done. It's the assigned task. My burden is light. It's what's assigned to you. So when he's saying my burden, he's really saying my burden for you is light. It's manageable. Okay, what is that burden? First of all, let's look at this word burden in a couple of other scriptures to get a context on it.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure you can.
doesn't an invoice also imply payment for? Like, it just sort of implies that there will be a payment owed for these services rendered.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, because you're receiving the rest and the peace of Jesus, that's the payment that you pay first with your servitude for the rest and peace. Yes, no?
I think so. Let's look at the word.
Okay.
Let's look at how the word is used in the scriptures, and it'll help us to understand it. Because that's one of the secrets of understanding what something really means, is look at how it's used in different contexts, and its meaning starts to come out to you.
Okay.
So let's look at a couple of these verses.
Matthew 23:4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers.
Okay, so it's Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. Now, in Matthew 23, he's not just talking to them. He's yelling at them. He is. He's
right.
yelling at them. And
right.
he's telling them that they're binding these heavy burdens and grievous things to be borne on the average person. But they're not going to lift one finger themselves. So he's saying mm-hmm. the word burden, he's saying you're laying these great responsibilities, these great tasks that are assigned to these people. You're saying this is what you must do. And yet you yourself are not doing anything. Luke 11:46 is very, very similar, so we won't read it. Same idea. It's a response, an assigned responsibility. See, that's what an invoice is. It's something that's assigned to a specific place.
Okay, good.
Now, look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. I love this part. This is just, to me, one of the great, best parts of this whole understanding here.
Brethren, even if a man be overtaken in any trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glorying in regard of himself alone, and not of his neighbor. For each man shall bear his own burden.
Okay. In that scripture, there's tasks involved. To bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, the word for burden and bearing each other's burdens is a different word entirely. That's the word that's right on the bottom there. And it means probably the same as heaviness, weight, burden, or trouble. Okay?
Okay,
so it's saying, when it says to bear each other's burdens, it's saying to help each other with the weight of their assignment. Help them carry the weight. But then it says, you also, each man should also bear his own burden, which is the word for invoice. So what it's really saying is you can't take the responsibility for someone else's difficulties and weights and trials, but you can help them carry it. You yourself have to carry what's been assigned to you.
Oh, wow. That is so cool.
Isn't that something?
And, yeah.
And so when Jesus says, my burden is light, he's saying that which I assign to you is manageable. That's what he's
okay.
saying. That's what the word means. And so it says we have to bear our own burden, and by doing that, we have to help each other with the weight of their trials. And Kathy, let's do the bump, go into a break at this point. Folks, we're talking about the burden of Jesus, not necessarily being something heavy, but being something wonderful.
This is Christian Questions with Rick and Kathy on WXLM 104.7. Is being a Christian a heavy burden? Grab your Bibles, don't go away. We'll be right back after a short break. Welcome back to Christian Questions on WXLM. Today's question is being a Christian a heavy burden? And wait till you hear the answer Rick's about to give. It's so exciting. It's life-changing. It blows my mind. But to be a part of our program, call 860-442-9956. That is 860-442-WXLM.
Yeah, you might say, folks, if you were here during the break, Kathy had one of those aha moments in life. and the reason is because the scriptures help us to really, really get it. That scripture we just read about bearing one another's burdens, and the word for burden there is bearing the weight, helping others bear the weight of their experiences. And at the end of that scripture, it says, every man shall bear his own burden. That word is the word for invoice. That's the same word that Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it's a matter of learning how to help others bear the weight of their experiences without taking the responsibility of their experiences from them. And one analogy with that, and this is a mistake that parents make all the time, is we will give our children a responsibility. And sometimes they get overwhelmed by that responsibility. Maybe it's homework that they're given. Whatever it is, they have a responsibility. We can help them take care of that responsibility. But the moment we do it for them, we've done them a disservice. And that, if we understand that equation about helping to bear the weight without taking away the responsibility, we could apply that to every relationship in our lives. and your life will take a turn for the better. Because then each of us has to bear the burden of that's assigned to us. The assignment, that's the key, is taking the assignment. And Jesus says, my assignment to you is light. So he's saying, I'm asking you to put on this yoke, this responsibility, but it's not going to hurt you. It's actually going to help you. It's going to give you rest. And that is a miraculous thing. And you know, the best part is it's true. It's not just a story. It's true. As a matter of fact, as we continue through this, the word for light means light or easy. I mean, that's an easy one. Okay, that's what it means. My burden is light. Let's read 2 Corinthians 4:17.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Okay, again, there is a contrast. That's the same word light as used, my burden is light. It says our light affliction, if you are willing to deal with that, there is a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's measuring a feather against a heavy weight. And it's measuring a moment, just a moment, against eternity. That helps us understand what a light affliction really is. So, how can a life-consuming assignment be light? Consider soldiers, and I think this to me is a very, very good example. Consider soldiers who serve their tour of duty and then want to go back. You think, why would you do that? Why would you want to go back? Why would you want to go back to the front of the fight? Why would they do? And there are many soldiers that do. They get injured in battle and they want to go back. And you say, why? Well, first of all, they believe in the cause. Secondly, they want to support their brothers in arms. Thirdly, they see their lives fulfilled through their sacrifice. And I think if we take those principles and apply them to ourselves, we can understand how a life-consuming assignment can be light. I understand we have a call. Let's go to that call right now. Good morning and welcome to Christian Questions. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, good morning. You're speaking with Don from Norwich.
Hello, Don from Norwich.
Long time no see.
Yeah,
here.
Good to hear from you.
Okay. First of all, in answer to your question, I think it's leading a Christian life or becoming a Christian is a very difficult thing,
mm-hmm.
depending on how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But one, we can't experience the pain, suffering, and all of that that Jesus took on our behalf while on the cross. That was his, I don't want to say burden, because I might get into some trouble there.
Well, it was his assignment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, great. And we, as you rightly said, have to go through with our assignment is we have to bear our own load. But people will be able to experience it in a way that they will help us to understand that. Why I say that recently, okay, I've been through some terrible times. And if I wasn't this strong in faith and reading the Word and listening to your program, I think I would have given up a long time ago. In January, I totaled my car, lost my job the next month, and I was recently in the fire in Norwich. And out of that, I don't know if the Lord is probably trying to tell me something, but I think I'm in a better place. And a number of people I've spoken to who were also in the fire in Norwich recently, they're in better places, materially, number one, economically, number two, and faith-wise, number three. So I think it is, from that perspective, it is easy. Well, not really easy, but as the scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he wouldn't depart from it. If I think the difficulty would come is if someone who is not well-versed in the Word, who has not learned or heard of the Word or heard of Jesus Christ, and is now trying to, you know, separate themselves from their former way of life to get into this new life, that might be a bit, there might be a bit of difficulty there in doing that. But somebody who has been brought up in that way, you know, it wouldn't be that difficult to them. So in that way, leading a Christian life or being a Christian is, you know, I would say both yes and no.
Okay.
All right?
Very
That's
good.
My contribution today.
Don, we really appreciate your calling in.
All right, thanks.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
And, you know, Kathy, one of the things that is evident here is that those who have called, you know, John called before and now Don, both have had similar experiences in that they've been run through the mill. And both have found an answer in going to the Word. And I think that's helping us get what this is really all about here.
Well, I appreciate, especially in the last caller, brought to mind that when you have life-changing experiences, that everything that you previously held near and dear and important to you is ripped from you, it allows you the opportunity to re-examine what is truly near and dear to you. And what I admire so much in these callers is that they turn to God and His Word and say, "You are what is near and dear to me. Teach me of you."
And that's such a valuable thing. If we can just have the humility to do that. And again, it's fighting against the yoke or going with it. And it's learning to accept the responsibility and claim that promise of the yoke is easy. It's not gonna hurt you. Just walk with it. And as we begin to wrap this up, I want to just touch on these three points. We were talking about, you know, something that's life-consuming. How can such a life-consuming assignment be light? And I really believe that there's three reasons why it can be considered light or manageable. One, you have to believe in the cause. Two, you have to want to support others who also believe in the cause. And three, you see your life fulfilled through whatever those sacrifices might be. And if you understand those, and we're talking from the standpoint of a soldier there, but if we can apply that to a Christian soldier, and we look at, well, what is the belief in the cause? What is the cause that we have? Now, there's a lot of them here. We don't have time to go into them all. We have the cause of sonship, okay, being called a son of God. We have the cause of redemption, which to me is such a massive blast of good news. And that's, you know, just looking from Genesis 22. Kathy, just read verse 18. Genesis 22:18.
"And by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice."
So this is the promise given to Abraham. By your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Okay? Then read Galatians 3:29.
"And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise."
See, to me, believing in the cause is believing in redemption. It's believing in the plan of God to give redemption. And that's why, to me, whatever the experiences are that come along, they're manageable. Because your cause is much bigger than your trial. And see, if you can always have that comparison in front of you, that's how you can succeed, through the difficulties. The cause is always bigger than the trial. It's always bigger than the difficulty.
And it's not just what you do, it's who you are.
Yeah. That's really what it does come down to, is taking on the yoke of Christ changes who you are. And if it doesn't change, if you're just wearing it for show, or you're wearing it because somebody said you really ought to try this, it's actually pretty good, that's not what it's about here. The yoke of Christ includes the begettal of the Spirit. It includes being a son of God, so to speak. And those are pretty serious responsibilities and commitments. And you have to believe that the cause is bigger than whatever might come your way. And see, if you don't have that sense, then the yoke is not firmly affixed. You're still walking, you're still fighting against it, you're still going your own direction. We don't have time here to go through all this. So they want to support their brothers in arms. Okay, that was one of the things that the soldier will do, is they want to be a support to those who are still fighting the fight, so to speak. As Christian soldiers, we ought to have that same zeal and dedication. We want to be supportive of others who are working in this for the same cause. And again, we don't have time to read it, but 1 Corinthians 12:12-26 talks about the body of Christ. It talks about how the different parts of the body work together to produce something that's seamless in its actions. You know, when you think about all the things that your body does, you don't have to think about any of it. It's seamless. It just happens. That's the way the body of Christ is supposed to work. Now, we got a lot of work to do on that one. Okay? Just one other quick point from James 5:13-16. Just read verse 16 on that. James 5:16.
Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective.
And again, if we want to support our brothers in arms, so to speak, one of the greatest ways that we can be supportive is through the power of prayer. You know, sometimes someone's bearing a burden and there's nothing you can physically do for them. Maybe they're not living in your area. Maybe you have no physical connection, but you know of their burden. Well, part of bearing this yoke of Christ is to put yourself out in prayer for them, because you are seeking help for them where you can't physically do it. And the help that you're seeking is greater than what you could give anyway.
True.
So that's part of this working together, that supporting our brothers in arms. And the last point we want to touch on, and I'm sure, Kathy, we don't have a lot of time here. 2 minutes? Okay. They see their lives fulfilled through their sacrifice. And I think that let's go to the last three scriptures there, Kathy. Psalm 116:15.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Why would God say that? Because the death of his saints, the death of those who are faithful, is a precious thing because they fulfilled their invoice, the responsibility. They did what they were supposed to do in walking alongside of Jesus. Next one.
Philippians 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Now, again, you can only really grasp that as a fact when you understand all of the things we talked about today, because you've put on the yoke and you're willing to just walk with Christ to wherever it leads you, because you realize the cause is greater than the trial. And the last scripture.
Revelation 3, verse 21. He that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne.
Folks, we're talking about the burden of Christ. And the reality is, the burden is the invoice, the assignment we're given. And as long as we walk with him and don't try to walk away and make our own path, that burden, that invoice, that responsibility is manageable in Christ. That's the secret. And that's why this scripture, Matthew 11:29-30, is so profound and life-changing. For Kathy and Rick, this is Christian Questions. We'll be back again next week. But until then, the burden of Christ. What a thrill. Think about it.